Very nice, Judy. Stay up. Very good. Would you please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship? Open our ears.
To hear your words.
Open our eyes.
To see your presence.
Open our arms.
To embrace the community.
Open our minds.
To the beauty of truth.
Open our hearts. Now, if you turn to page 881 in your hymnal, we'll do the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He sat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From hence we come to judge.
I'm sorry, I thought y'all had it. All right. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings. I can't hear y'all. With your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, teach us to forgive others and to own forgiveness for ourselves. This ownership allows us to move forward. Lord, allow us to set aside the crippling pain and shame so possesses our lives, and move forward, forgiving and forgiven. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is found in James 1, a simple, just verse 19. Dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think our parents said that, and please be seated now as we grew up. When Mary saw the title of my sermon's talk, I guess, with me, she was afraid I was going to do flossing and brushing and taking care of your teeth. That's a good foundation, but she read it today, and she was a little bit relieved. And Lynn, I'm watching you. She can harass people with her cane when your back's turned, and then she lets you think it's her sister. Then they have to call on the phone and apologize to let me know who really did it. So I'm happy to be with you here this morning. Praise God, we have a new minister coming, the Reverend Darrell Coates. He's a reverend doctor. He's got a doctorate, so I've never known a Methodist preacher that wanted you to call him doctor, but he does. I'm kind of glad the convoluted situation is over. It seemed like it's like Don says, never ending. Last week, I'm going to kind of follow what Paula spoke. In fact, it's really scary, and ministers say the same thing. If you're coming up to where you need to do for them a sermon and nothing's really coming, of course, they can always go back, especially if they're lectionary preachers, go back 3 years and pick up a sermon they had. And I've had them say they've really had to do that because nothing really came to them. And Paula, you helped me a lot. It really did. I had a rough idea last Sunday, but I didn't know really where I was going. And what really stuck with me is she was saying last Sunday, with a ministerial change comes a chance for reflection. It's to reflect, to consider how we're doing, and
My wife thought this funny. I put down the good, the bad,
and the ugly. You know, Clint Eastwood fans. So it's a time to reflect on how we're doing and to do some thought. The Lord knows we have problems. All churches do. I think we share a lot of the same problems. Things that hit me when I was doing this is, you know, every day the secular world seems a little bit more alien to us. I think the attacks on our Christian beliefs, to me, as I've gotten older, seem a little bit more pointed and a little bit more mean. For our church here, things that came up was, you know, dwindling attendance, financial, always aging of a congregation. So our church has some that are a little bit different. It's kind of depressing when you think about it when you first do, but I've really been helped also. Laorta's class is using a book, The Letters to the Church by Francis Chan, who's a guy. That sounded sexist, didn't it? He is a guy. It's a good book. I don't agree with everything I never have in a book, you know, unless it's a novel. But really, it's insightful. It's a good reflective read when you read it. He was a minister in a big mega church and then gets dissatisfied and goes overseas and serves the poor, I believe in India. And then he comes back and he's really started his churches more as home churches, and they've grown to mega churches. So a very insightful read. Really what I've got from it, and I'm only on chapter 6, is it's really he's not derogatory the way he does it, but he's really kind of going through and trying to explain what he had happen in his churches and why he left. I think they had 18 associate ministers or something, and he said, yeah, everything went fine when I went overseas. But really what it comes to me when you look at an overview, it's sort of, he's kind of going through in a polite way and trying to remind us ways that we're kind of getting away from God's commands. What I put here is kind of, it's sort of a back to the basics primer for Christians. Some things that came up, if I can get my pages in the right order. Some of the basics that stuck with me is teaching from the Bible, common sense. The importance of prayer, common sense. He's really big into the sacred aspects of communion, the way we approach communion today. I know when Dick does it, I really enjoy the full. I've been a Methodist for 40 years. I really enjoy page 12 and 13 and the responsive readings. I really like that. Nothing against Francis, but I do like the full thing. And the last one that really stuck with me, what I'm going to speak about, is the church is a family. The family of God, loving one another. And we're talking Church Universal. We're talking about our church here in Cloudcroft. Talking about being a family, and this does seem pretty negative, but it's true. We pretty well live in a time where we come to this building on Sunday mornings. And I'm not counting Sunday school, and I'm not counting time alone at home, prayer and reflection, but in study. But we come to this church on Sunday morning. If we don't go to Sunday school, we have a one-hour meeting, a one-hour service, and we consider ourselves part of God's family. It's not shocking. We all do it. In fact, I think it's the norm. It's what I grew up with, to be honest. It's nothing that's happened just recently. But Chan talks about this, that where in the New Testament do we find that as a pattern for Christ's followers? You know, did you ever read that they get together once a week? And this is talking about family, the church, to really for more fellowship, you know, and it doesn't really go into it. He also pretty well says in our Bibles, do we ever find the followers that meet once a week? Chan goes into a story, the gang, I think it's chapter 4. And he tells of an elder in his church who accepted Christ as a savior in prison. And a lot of it's going into this guy talking about how dangerous it was to get out of his church, out of his gang, because he needed to get out of the gang when he accepted Christ. This man's name was Rob. That just stuck with me. And he explained that gang life, and when he was talking to Chan about it, Chan says it really sounded a lot like a family. It's kind of like what Christ's church is supposed to be. And he says, of course, you've got to ignore the murder, the mayhem, the drugs, you know, and things like that. But to Chan, it said it sounded a little bit more like the way gangs work, sadly, was a little bit more as a family than we are as the modern church. And pretty well, the family is God's basis for the church. It really is. And we'll have a reading here in a minute. It is the basis for the family church. Both gangs and us, we use family terminology, but this elder, Rob, convinced Francis Chan that gangs actually had a much stronger sense of what it means to be a family in a very negative way than we do as God's church. He laughed and he said, can you imagine gang members, the way they function, you know, and they're so tight and worried about telling on each other, to meet once a week and, you know, have a little fellowship and go on about their way. But as Christians, something that God designed to function as a family originally has been reduced, honestly, to a weekly optional meeting. And things come up. You can't be at church every Sunday. I realize that. But it has become normal. That's pretty well what's expected. John was quoting Jesus in John 13, 34, 35, and this pretty well sums up where I came from. As a new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. And here's the kicker to me. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And what, when I got into this and got into some research books, what Jesus is saying is that the way we love one another was his plan to how to draw people to our church. They see the love that we share with each other, and that was literally one of God's plans on how the church was supposed to work. What I see personally is we, me, you, us, we need to get back to this basic tenet to love one another radically. That's a word that the conference has used for years. It'd be nice if people said, you know, that Methodist church seems like a loving group of people at church. You know, they treat each other like a family. They're concerned about the community, which we are. You know, we have good points, that's for sure, and we are. But it'd be nice if they said that. My problem is, how do we do this? How do we change? And honestly, I don't know. I'm an Aggie. I'm not the deepest thinker in this room. I may talk with someone a little bit more knowledgeable when I get done. But even I know that really, if we were weighed, we're lacking in some issues. And honestly, it's not us. All churches are. Thing that is coming up in what Paula spoke on is we do need to do some changing, and the time for change is when you have a change in leadership. There's always an open. If a CEO of a company changes, he's got a program, and sometimes it goes backwards. But if we're going to do this and really try to change some things and strengthen our faith life, this is probably a good time to do it. I said this about a year ago. Basically, we're a family with problems, but we're not near as dysfunctional as my family. You know, so, you know, and all churches are that way. But without a conscious effort, without getting together, and this probably means some meetings, without getting together to figure out what we can do better and to figure out what we're doing good. We do a lot of things good. Probably nothing's going to improve. I think the minister we're getting is a really dynamic guy from looking at some little mini sermons he had on Facebook. But it really doesn't matter. Honestly, it really doesn't matter how good a preacher Reverend Coates is when he gets here. No matter how well he speaks from the pulpit, no matter how many great ideas he brings, since he teaches other interim preachers. In fact, our DS is thinking about going to that when he retires from DNS and being interim. No matter what he does, no matter how great ideas he brings us, nothing's really going to change for our church unless we do it. Unless we do it. You know, of course, everybody's heard this. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. That's kind of where we are. You know, we've seen churches where we were do praise bands to try to bring in the younger, you know, to have split meetings, and Mayhill's doing that now for younger, but it really needs to seem to work for us. But I don't ever remember us really turning inward and making sure we were healthy before we tried to go outward. So I'm not saying that a more modern, I don't know. It'd be a matter of meeting. But as a family, as a part of Christ Church, it's time to take notes of our strengths and our weaknesses and make some changes. My dad, and I'm pretty well done. I'm going to go over a little bit before I close about our meeting yesterday with the DS. My dad always had a saying, and when he'd start saying it, I'd turn my back and say it with him. It's time to cuss, discuss, vote, and get on down the road for whatever your job is that day. So I don't know if that was a military thing. He followed crops for 2 years. I don't know. But to me, it's just kind of, it's time to dig our spurs in and get busy. After our meeting, and I wrote this morning, so I'll really be reading this. After our meeting this morning, or yesterday for the DS, we did approve Pastor Coates' contract. He'll sign it when he gets here. I've got to get a hold of Cindy, if we can, to get the finance to do it. It's apparent that it's changed, and I know our church in Crane had an interim minister, and I think there's been one here before. I think it's really changed. It looks like, from listening to Ernie yesterday, our DS, it looks like they really have a program that's a partnership with the church and the congregation. It kind of, Ernie didn't line it out, but it pretty well sounded like it's fact-finding to start with. It's reflection for us coming up, with our strengths and our weaknesses. Us listening to him, he'll learn from us and then see what he can tell us to see what's going on, to make a game. I think there's a game plan made, essentially, to strengthen the congregation. And all we do is hopefully that will lead to a spiritually stronger church, and it'll help us financially. There's no question on that. So I think it's going to be a give and take. It's not a boilerplate type of situation. I think he really is going to kind of dig at us to see where we're coming from, I don't think he's going to bring us in private interviews, but I think he's going to see where we stand. And then what he teaches other ministers and what he's done for years to see what kind of a program we come up with. But I can't see there not being, and this is a terrible word in the Methodist meetings, I don't know of what kind. Ernie didn't go into that, but we need help, if nothing more than congregational size. But we're a good church. This is, God, like I've told you before, this is our family now. But we are weak in some places, and every church is. So that goes. But financially, it'll help. But what we really know is this, is we're probably going to have to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. I pray that we don't go door to door. I can't do that. That just kills me. My comfort zone's pretty narrow. I'm so conservative, but I think if we don't do any changing, and I don't think he's going to push anything at all, I don't think that's how they're doing this. It sounds like a pretty good program just from what Ernie kind of hit around. So primarily, Daryl can lead us, but any change is going to have to be in us and by us. So I don't think it's going to be a real complicated thing. It's just he's not going to come in with a 1, 2, 3, 4. He's trained well enough. He can see what we need, see what we're comfortable with. You don't want to chase people away. But there's ways we can tweak and get well inside before we can bring other people in. So that's pretty well what I had to say. So, we need to survive in the coming years. All of us are pretty old. I'd like to think this was still here. Of course, I'm younger than Ross. Russell, I mean, I'm way, probably younger than even Donald. I'm not sure. But, we have an old congregation. That's one of the problems. And that's a problem in the Methodist Church, everywhere except for some of the mega churches. So pretty well, we need to change. And I know we can do it because God's on our side. So, amen. I think we can do it. Closing music, You Are My Song. before we stand for the blessing, there was something in my nervousness I skipped over, and I'd like to say, I'm trying to figure out what I need to do, and I had down I need to criticize less, I need to complain less, I need to forgive more, I need to love more, and I think it'd all help, and I don't do this, and this is recognize each other's shortcomings and deal with it. My shortcoming is I'm a very introverted, quiet person. So I appreciate it if y'all would accept that. So, okay. I normally do my own prayers and blessings, but as y'all stand, the one that they printed out is my favorite one of all time. So if you'd please stand, we'll have a blessing and the benediction song, and we can get home. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Y'all have a good week. Thank you for the music. Amen. Amen.